So tonight I want to cover a whole new aspect of, for many people, it's called hermeneutics. Everybody say hermeneutics. Now, who can spell it without cheating? Now, you're in the class. What are you talking about? Yes, go ahead. Take a shot. No. Okay, let's move on. Hermeneutics. That is a really big word with a really easy easy explanation. It simply means this, how to correctly interpret the scripture. Many people, in fact, the majority of people, just read the Bible and they kind of let their own head deduce what they desire to understand. Judas hung himself, go thou and do likewise. How many of you know that's really not a good verse? Right. That is two verses that I took, put them together, and made them say whatever I want. That's how you can get people to drink poison Kool-Aid. Actually, I don't know if you've heard the rumor, but they do tell you to not drink Kool-Aid here. We don't really serve Kool-Aid, but if you do, don't drink it. Okay, so hermeneutics, I want to explain what it is. Hermeneutics is the correct way to interpret the scripture. Now, it's very important that you understand that, because the Bible can be misinterpreted. This is a serious issue, and this is why sitting under a man or a woman, whoever your pastor is, whoever you sit under, you want to make sure they have gone to school. Now, that's important. There are a lot of preachers, especially in our arena, a lot of preachers that have never been to Bible college. I'm not talking down about them. I'm not saying they're bad people. But the problem is, if they've never studied hermeneutics, this is why we come up with a lot of weird doctrine in our area. We have some strange doctrine in our area. Has anybody ever heard of amillennialism? Well, let me explain what that is. It's gotten by misinterpreting the scripture. It actually means amillennialism, and there are churches that preach in our area, that Jesus is not coming back except to a perfect world. That the world we're in is going to keep getting better and better and better until Jesus returns. And when he returns, it's going to be perfect. That's why you should all join government. How many of you understand that that's a really unique way of understanding? Yes. You know, and this is a problem. You know, there are other churches in our area, and I'm not knocking churches, I just want to give you some examples. Other churches in our area that do not deduce scripture through proper hermeneutics, they actually say that all women, is there a woman in the house that has cut your hair before? How many women have cut your hair? You're all going to hell. How many women have wore earrings? Well, let's just say that how many men have wore earrings too. You're going to hell. Men, if your hair touched the back of your collar, you're going to hell too. Ladies, if you've ever wore a pair of jeans, you're going to hell too. So they get this from two verses. One is, women should not wear men's apparel, found in the Old Covenant. And the other one is, women should not cut their hair because it's the glory of God, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But both of them are taken completely out of context. And I love when these real pious religious people say to me, women should not wear jeans, they should not wear men's apparel. I look and say, that's right. Men should be wearing men's apparel. Go get your dress. Because in the Old Covenant, they wore dresses. You know what I mean? They wore the long cloaks. They did not wear pants in the Old Covenant. Hello? So you see how people just like to twist and make things fit their own doctrine? The thing about women cutting their hair, if they cut their hair, they cut the glory. The reason it says that is the only women in the Bible in that era, in the Corinthians, when he's talking to about that, the only women who cut their hair were the prostitutes. So all he was saying is, don't look like a prostitute. Don't cut your hair. See, we twist things to get the doctrine that we desire. That is bad deduction. It is a responsibility of believers, and this is why you're in this class, and I'm extremely proud of you. The reason you're in this class is because you need to know how to read the Bible properly. You need to know how to study the Bible, because when you do, then you'll be able to get the treasures that are in there. The Bible is full of treasures. Now, I know there are people in this room that don't like to read. So I encourage you, how many of you who do not like to read are listening to the Bible on YouVersion? Very good. Me too. If you go to my truck, I sit down, turn it on, you'll hear the Bible. I think right now I'm in Timothy. I'm constantly hearing the word. I like to read, but I like to listen too. So let's talk about hermeneutics. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, be diligent. Everybody say diligent.
Diligent.
Be diligent. What's that mean? What's diligence?
Consistent.
Making it happen. Be diligent. Don't just sit back and watch things. Be diligent to present yourself approved of God, to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if you can rightly divide the word of truth, you can also wrongly divide the word of truth. So the art of hermeneutics is how to correctly interpret the scripture. Now, there are two main viewpoints on interpreting the scripture. Number one is called historico-grammatico-exegete. Everybody say that with me. Historico-grammatico-exegete. You know what that means? To interpret the Bible literal. It's simple. To literally interpret the scripture. So in this type of interpretation, what you're doing is striving to find out what the original writer meant when it was penned. That's very important. Now, there's a scripture that says a rich man cannot enter heaven. It's like a camel going through the eye of the needle. Right? What does that mean? Does that mean anybody with money can't go to heaven? No, it's not what it means at all. What it means was the eye of the needle was a gate in Jerusalem that was short, that they would come in at night, because they would always close all the gates at night for protection. And what they would have to do is they would have to get their camel to drop down on his knees and crawl in rather than just stand up and walk in. It's not that money is going to send anybody to hell, but what it is that sometimes people with finances rely more on that for their salvation than Jesus Christ. That's all it's saying. So understanding what the original writer meant is very important. Now, if the original writer meant green, we don't have the right to change it to yellow.
Amen.
This is what happens in the second type of hermeneutical deduction. It's called this. Now, you're getting this called, it's called, the class is called hermeneutics. This is a Bible college class. This one is simple. This one is called spiritualization. So everybody say spiritualization.
Spiritualization.
Spiritualization says this. I can take the verse, and what I feel it means, that's what it means. If I don't like the verse, I can change the meaning. He might have meant green, but I like yellow. That's called spiritualization. And that does error or damage to the original text. And that is how not to interpret the Bible. So this is where you and I in this house, we are literal interpretalists. That's a nice word for saying we interpret the Bible literally. Our goal is always to find out what Paul meant when he wrote that text, what Peter meant when he wrote that text, what John meant when he wrote that text. And what he meant, we don't have the right to say, well, that doesn't really, you know, I don't like that in 2016, so I'm just thinking I'll throw that one out. What he meant, he meant. And that is where you and I need to come to a conclusion in our hearts that literally we believe in the Bible, not in what we want the Bible to say for us. We believe in what the Bible says. And we showed last week that the Bible is the Word of God. So if the Bible is the Word of God, we can prove it is the Word of God beyond a reasonable doubt, then we must literally interpretalize it, therefore get the original meaning so it applies to us today. Because not every verse in the Bible applies to today. And you all need to say amen. Because if it was, any woman that's not a virgin is stoned to death. Literally. So we need to understand what it's talking about. Okay? Do I have any questions? This is very important. Somebody ask me a question. Okay, ask me another question. Yes?
How do you know what's literal? Like you said, the Bible says that a woman that's not a virgin should be stoned to death. All right, that's not really. It's in there, but it's not really in here too today.
Right, and this is where we start understanding that we have old covenant and new covenant. And this is why this class here, Rock Solid Faith, should have 300 people in it. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it should, because what happens is when they're not here, they don't know what we're talking about. Well, the problem is they're going to remain in ignorance. How many of you know ignorance is not bliss? Right. See, I consider you very brilliant people. You are brilliant people. You have chosen to educate yourself in understanding the scripture. That's brilliance. So we've talked about, and we went into covenants. Oh, I don't think we are at covenants yet. We'll be in covenants in the next few weeks. When we start studying covenants, we understand that covenants have stopped and started. And knowing the covenant that you are in put you in the position of understanding how to read the scripture. Say it one more time. Understanding the covenant that you are in. How many of you know you're not in the covenant of innocence any longer? Anybody here ever sinned? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Adam and Eve were in the covenant of, it was called the Adamic covenant. The covenant of innocence. Well, once they sinned, innocence was gone. That covenant ceased. Then it went into the Noahic covenant. Then the Mosaic covenant. Then the Davidic covenant. And then we can go on and on. We will. We'll go through all the covenants. So the covenant that we are in is called the New Covenant. So understanding the New Covenant helps us when we read the Bible to truly understand what is relative to us and what is not. For Jesus did not come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law. But the great part about old covenant to new is old covenant was all about getting caught. New covenant's worse. It's all about the heart. In the old covenant, if a man had to be caught by two witnesses to be accused of adultery. In the new covenant, a man has to look at a woman to lust, and he's already committed adultery in his heart. In the old covenant, to be a murderer, you had to kill somebody. In the new covenant, to be a murderer, you have to hate your brother. Crap, that's a lot worse, isn't it? So we're going to get into that also in the future. So I'm very proud of you. I just want to say, as your pastor, I'm very proud of you. But there is an understanding that there are ways and books you can purchase that will help you better understand. And this is why Rock Solid Faith, I put this, you know, it's 66,000 words in this book. The original book didn't even have half of that. The reason I did this is because you will always have a reference to be able to go back and reinstall or stir up your memory of how to, what to, and where to. You'll always have this in your hands. That's why I wrote this book. That's why it took me years to write this book for you, to be able to have that for you. So two types of hermeneutics. The first one is called historical grammatical. I bet you said this. First way of hermeneutics is literal. Everybody say literal.
Literal.
Or spiritual.
Spiritual.
Right. Spiritual sounds more spiritual, but it's actually not more spiritual. So a literal interpretalist believes that we must interpret green as green, not green as yellow. Is everybody with me now? I want to make sure we're all on the same page. Listen, if you do not understand, if you sit there and you don't say, you can even give me a quarter mast, and I'll go back over it. I want you to understand. This is very important. You must understand. So don't be embarrassed if you're saying, I don't get this yet. Please explain it more. You must understand. I need a half mast, quarter mast. Is there anybody who needs it? No? Okay. So the first way of interpretation is literal. In this church, we are literal interpretalists. We believe in historical, history, grammatical, grammar, exegete, means you cut it up to make sure you understand what it means. Okay? We believe in that, and I'm going to teach you how to do that. Is that all right? I'll teach you how to do that tonight. The other is called spiritualization, and spiritualization just means you can take any text out of the Bible and make it say whatever you want. I had a girl walk up to me in Bible college. She was unattractive. And you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. And I wasn't beholding. She walked up to me and she said, "The Lord and I were in prayer last night, and he gave me a verse." And she opened it up. It was a verse in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament. She said, "I need you to read this because you and I, the Lord told me, are to be married." I read the verse, and it never said the name Michael. And it never said her name either. And I looked at her and I said, "Oops, saith the Lord." Because he did not talk to me, honey. And yeah, okay, I was just going to say something bad. So, I was a good boy. But you see, she was sold out that verse was talking about Michael Spencer being her husband. She was spiritualizing. Thank the Lord. So we want to make sure that we interpret the Bible correctly. Now, before we start showing you how to interpret the Bible correctly, what I want to do is I want to start teaching you how to read the Bible. Reading the Bible is very important. Every one of us should read the Bible every single day. How many of you eat food? How many of you don't eat food? I would love to say I don't eat food, but we all know that might not be true. We all eat. We all nourish our bodies. How many of you are going home tonight and having ice cream? Man, it's not fair, man. It's just not right. How many had a steak today? Oh, man, my wife. I went home. I didn't get a steak. So how many had, you had pierogies?
Yeah.
Were they good?
Pierogies and shrimp.
Were they good?
They're delicious.
Awesome. You nourished your body. You nourished your body, young man? Absolutely. Just as your physical body needs nourishment, your spiritual body needs nourishment. The Bible is so very clear on this. Remember when Jesus was being tempted of the devil? And the devil tempted him, and Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." God's word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the bone and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. We also know in John 6. It says this, that Jesus said, "The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life." So the word of God is alive. And what it does is it feeds your spirit man. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what happens is when you're not reading the word of God, you're not building your faith. If you're not building your faith, you're building your doubt. And if you're building your doubt, then how long are you going to remain a believer? So feeding your spirit is always important. In fact, I challenge you, don't eat regular food the amount of days you don't read the Bible. Yeah, that's a real turner. Yes?
What do you mean by regular food?
Like cereal, Captain Crunch with Crunch Berries kind of stuff.
Can I eat fruits and vegetables?
No. Fruits and vegetables. What's wrong with that kid? So here we are. I want to teach you that you need to read the Bible every day. Now, there are certain great reading Bibles, okay? Here's some reading Bibles for you. One Bible is called the New Living Translation, NLT. It is a good reading Bible. It is not an interpretation. It is more of a, what is the word that they use? A paraphrase. It is more of a paraphrase, but it is pretty solid on in what the scriptures actually saying. So NLT is a great reading Bible. Also, the Message Bible is a great reading Bible. You can't get a better toilet Bible than the Message Bible. I mean, it is a great Bible just to read. You don't want to study it. You just want to read it. You can sit there, and because what they do is they put it in right now American terms, and they, I think they just started putting verses and chapters in it, but they didn't before. Because remember, the books of the Bible are letters. So the chapters and the verses we put in to help find where we are. But it never had those. I mean, Paul didn't write, all right, chapter 1, verse 27. It was all one big letter, and we broke them up when they compiled the scriptures so we could find things easier. But the Message Bible is a phenomenal Bible just to read. Another great Bible to read is called the Amplified Bible. It's louder than others. Bah. Thank you. Whew, a little slow on that one. Amplified Bible. Now, what the Amplified Bible does, if you anybody here listens to Joyce Meyer, she uses the Amplified Bible. What the Amplified Bible does is it uses synonyms. So what it will do is it will take a word and give you three or four other synonyms with the same meaning so that you make sure your comprehension is there in that text. That is another great reading Bible. Problem with that reading Bible is you don't get too far. I mean, a verse that's like three sentences is now eight. Yeah. But comprehension is better than just ingestion. I just made that up and it really sounded good. Comprehension is better than ingestion. You got to comprehend the scripture. And it's better to comprehend three or four verses than to read 10 chapters and not know what the blessed thing you did. Amen. Okay? So everybody should be taking time out of your day to read the word. Now, some people do it better in the morning. Some people better at night. I remember when I was working, I would come home from Bible college. My dad would give me painting jobs. I hated painting jobs. And I would have to get up early and I would get home very late because I needed to earn enough money to get myself through Bible college. So what I did was every noon to one, I took a 1 hour lunch break. I fasted it every day and I read the word for 1 hour. That's when my best time was. Some of you get breaks. You get 10 minute breaks, maybe twice a day. It's to go hang out with your friends, go jump in your car and read for 10 minutes. You need to make sure that you make yourself. If you do not put the energy to bring yourself to read the word, you will not read the word. Your flesh does not want you to read the word. Your flesh is not happy when you read the word. Why? Because the flesh is the enemy of God. The flesh, what is your flesh? Your intellect, your emotions, and your will. How you governed yourself before you gave your heart to Jesus. So your flesh does not want to submit to God. So your flesh will make sure you're busy. Your flesh will make sure that you aren't interested. Your flesh will make sure that you're bored. Your flesh will make sure that you just don't have time. You must, let me say it again. You must make time to read the word of God every single day. And if you don't, you're going to struggle. I don't know about you, I'd rather not struggle.
Pastor Spencer, now you have me a little nervous because I don't know all the different Bibles.
Yes.
The first Bible I received, nice shiny cover on it and all that, it was hard for me to understand.
Yes, it was King James Version.
I believe it was. I got really frustrated because I read it, wanted to read
yep.
it, but I got frustrated because I couldn't understand.
Yes.
I prayed for a Bible that I could understand. I received a blessing, and it was a recovery Bible.
Okay.
Now, I like that because it tells pretty much at the top who the audience is, when it was written,
yep.
by who,
yes.
Pretty much the time.
That's called a study Bible.
Okay, and at the bottom of where you read it,
yep.
the bottom, it even simplifies it more.
Had little commentaries on the bottom. Now, that's called a study Bible. But you want a reading Bible, too, because sometimes you don't have time to study, so you can read.
Well, I use it just a reading.
And that's fine, because I'd be interested in finding out what the version. It might be New International Version, or NIV.
I will bring it next time.
Yeah, bring it. It'd be awesome. So you want to be able to get a Bible you can read. That's extremely important. And you must cut out of your day time to read the Word of God. Now, I had somebody say to me they hated to read. So I know they travel a lot. I know they're just to get to work is at least 45 minutes. I said, you don't like to read. That's cool. Throw on YouVersion. How many of you have YouVersion on your phone? It comes in Android and it comes in Apple. If you don't have YouVersion, you need to get that on your phone. It's a free app. And you can go there and you can hit it. And I was telling this guy, he travels 35, 40 minutes to work every single day. He doesn't like to read the Bible. He hadn't read the Bible in a bit. I said, here you go. All you need to do while you're driving down the road, hit play. He contacted me last week. He goes, man, I'm getting at least a half hour a day in the Word. He said, it's good.
I went for years. I hated to read. I mean, I hated it. I'd get up in the morning. If I read a half a page, my eyes would go blurry and I couldn't see. And after I come and I listened to you for a while, I started the NLT Bible.
Yep, NLT.
And I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm reading and I hate it. You've got to do something for me. Ask her. I'll sit down now in the morning. I'll read 3 hours.
Yes, it's really easy. When you get a Bible you can understand, it's actually enjoyable. Now, a lot of people, there are churches actually in our area that say if you don't read the King James Version, you're not reading the true scriptures. Well, I always look at them and say, well, you're reading the 11th edition of the King James Version. Because if you were reading the original King James Version, you couldn't understand it. Literally, it's Old English. It was written 1611. Hello? So, I mean, people who say that, they're just foolish. They're nice. They've got good intentions. They're just foolish. They don't understand. And again, they need to come to class. Bring them next week. So I want to encourage you to get a good reading Bible. And if you have a Bible that's a study as well, that is a good reading Bible. You just need to be able to understand it. You know, don't feel guilty if you're reading the King James Version with thou, thus, and thises, and those, and therefore, others, and all that stuff. And you're saying, man, I don't get this stuff. There are versions you can understand. Now, there is a difference between a version and a translation. No, translation and version are the same. Yeah, no. No, Kenny said no. Translation is not the same. It is, different. Well, thank you, Kenny. That was really good.
Translation is an interpretation.
Yeah, it's the same as, what was the word I used before? I didn't get supper. You can tell I need some carbohydrates. Whatever. Okay, so get a good reading Bible, okay? Everybody, who has a Message Bible at your house? Oh, look at the hands up. Who has an NLT at your house? Good, awesome. Who has an Amplified at your house? Awesome. Who has no Bible at your house? We have them for you for free. How many of you just refuse to read altogether? At least no honesty in the room. Oh, there you go. Praise the Lord. I love honesty, dude. YouVersion. Let it read to you. YouVersion. It's an app. When you type in Bible, it will be like a maroonish with a yellow cross. And when you hit it, when you download it, it will say YouVersion. Go there, hit read. Up in the corner, you'll actually see a microphone. Hit the button, and it'll read to you. Speaker. I'm sorry. Speaker. And what's that? There you go. Every day, you'll get the word in your spirit. And you see, the point is that as long as the word's getting in your spirit, you're going to grow. Now, in Bible college, I not only read the word, because I had to do that for classes, but then I studied the word, and I'm going to show you how I did it. But then also, back in those days, it was tapes. I had an auto-reverse tape player. And I would put that tape player on when I went to bed. My roommate hated me. But it would auto-reverse all night long. And I would, whether you like it or not, your spirit man doesn't sleep. So all night long, I was feeding by spirit. All night long, I was hearing the word. All night long, I was building faith. All night long, I was, and you know what? You'll end up getting up in the middle, you know, the next day, and you'll remember a verse that you don't ever remember reading, but the Holy Spirit's job is to bring to remembrance all those things which Jesus has taught. Well, you heard that at 2:00 in the morning last Friday, and the Spirit just quickened it to your heart right there. So I still do that every once in a while. I'll wait for my wife to go to sleep, then I'll pop on YouVersion, and I'll listen to the Bible while I'm sleeping. It takes a few days to get used to it. Yeah, because then you'll wake up, who is in my room? You don't have to worry about it. No one. Don't shoot your tape player. All right. Now, I also want to talk about different other kinds of books. Is that fair?
Okay.
Well, let's talk about this. If you're going to read your Bible, where do you begin?
Genesis.
Never start with Genesis. Can I hear everybody say amen? I would encourage you for a while not to read Leviticus. It is horrifically boring. Where do I start? If you have a pen, write down these. I'm just going to tell you. Most people tell you start in the book of John, St. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Most people tell you to start there. I don't usually tell you to start there. I just tell you to start where I like. I like the book of James. The book of James is overwhelmingly practical, very practical. It's written to the Christian. I always encourage people to read James, 1st and 2nd Peter, and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and Jude. Then go back to the book of John. There you go. James, Peter, Peter, John, John, John. Jude. Then pop back to St. John, which is the fourth book of the New Testament. Acts. Romans. And then you just go straight through. And then when you're done those, go back to Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I encourage you to stay out of the book of Revelation. Well, the book of Revelation is interpreted literally. But the difficulty is there's two types of chapters in the book of Revelation. You have a parenthetical chapter and you have a chronological chapter. So when you don't understand the difference between a chronological chapter and a parenthetical chapter, you sit there and you go, what in the world is going on here? I'm more confused now than when I started. I just know I don't want to end up there. Yes. Yes, you can go to the bathroom. Not there, though. Go to the bathroom. Over there. Okay. Yes.
The reason I am a Christian today is because I read the book of Revelation. I said, you know, I know that the Bible is true, and I know that God doesn't lie.
The reason I do, the reason...
I am going to avoid going through Revelation at all costs because I do not want to go through what is described in that book at all.
Well, I agree with you. The reason I tell believers not to go there for a while is simply because it can bring confusion. And if you really want to know that, we have a DVD series out there that you can buy on the End Times, or you can get it free online. You can get it free on our YouTube page. All the sermons I preached on the End Times, they're all on there for free. Or you can buy the DVD packet, or you can just see Brother Kenny and he'll get you the CDs. But ultimately, we want you to make sure that you just get in the flow of the words. So James, Peter, Peter, John, 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 Jude, back up to St. John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, 1st, 2nd, you know, we can go through the list. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. You guys want to sing the song together? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Accent. Kenny, you know the song? Acts and Romans and Corinthians, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, Thessalonians, Timothy, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, Peter, Peter, John, 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 Jude, and Revelation. Yeah. My aunt taught me that.
I did?
Yeah, way back in Sunday school. Yeah, I mean, that song got me through Bible college. What are you talking about? Now, you are blessed because, honestly, what I used to do is make you take a test next week on all the books of the Bible in a row. But I'm not going to do that to you. Yes?
Again, I'm a little confused. Not so much confused. I think I did wrong. I started right from New Testament.
Yes. And you can do that. You can start anywhere you want in the New Testament. The reason I say James is just a personal preference. And I find that many new believers, the more practical the chapter is, the more it applies to them individually. So it's more, it's speaking to them individually. But it doesn't have to. You can speak anywhere in the book of, anywhere in the New Testament. It's cool.
What about the Old Testament? After I read from, a lot of the New Testament, I know I didn't understand because of the people they were speaking of in the Old Testament.
Right. If you're going to read in the Old Testament, after you're done all the New, I would encourage you to go Genesis, Exodus, skip Leviticus. It's really funny. And then I would go into Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and then you could read the rest through. You'll probably get a little confused when you get to the major prophets, which is Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. But you'll be able to just read it, and God will speak to your spirit. But the biggest part is to make sure that you don't get bored with the Scripture. And the New Testament will keep you right in touch, because that's your covenant. Amen? Amen? So just keep you in touch, intact. So let's talk about now different ways. How many here have a computer? I encourage you to download what's called e-sword.net. E-sword, it's in your book on page 36. E-sword.net. It is a free internet program that has every kind of study Bible, every kind of reading Bible. I forget, well over 100 Bibles are on there. They have all the different study materials. Some of the ones that we're going to show you tonight are all in there, all for free. All for free. So you will love this this program called e-sword.net. You can also get it on your iPhone or your Android. I always say iPhone first because Android is substandard. We understand that. And so, okay, I'm sorry. So e-sword.net, and it's absolutely free. And you can download all the different Bibles. Yes?
What's your take on Blue Letter Bible?
Blue Letter Bible is awesome. It's a really good one, especially it gets into this stuff, Strong's Exhaustive. So there are a lot of different ones on your phones that you can get. The reason I always tell people to get YouVersion, number one, it will read to you. Number two, on a Sunday morning, if you get on our YouVersion, you can actually follow along with us with all the verses because it's automatically put in there, and you can type your own notes and it will save it for you.
Wow.
So we have that available.
Wow.
Okay, so let's start talking about study Bibles. How do I study? Let's talk about the Bibles first, and then we'll get into how to study. You ready? There are different Bibles that you can purchase. This is the one I always encourage everyone to purchase. If you can get this, you can get it in hardcover, you can get it in soft paper cover, you can get it in bonded leather, etc., etc. You can get this up at the Barnes & Noble. It's called the Spirit or the New Spirit Life Bible. New Spirit-Filled Life Bible. I'm sorry. It's a great Bible. The New Spirit-Filled Life Bible. I would encourage you to the New Spirit-Filled Life Bible. And it comes in New King James Version. So I'm talking about a study Bible now. New King James Version takes out the these, thous, and thuses. Okay? So it's really the King James, but takes out all of the words that we just don't use today. Okay? It's a good version. It's the version I usually preach out of on a Sunday morning. It's the version that I study at. And this Bible right here, the New Spirit-Filled Life Bible, is a Pentecostal Bible. Now, what do we mean by that? Now, all the Bibles are the same. I mean, if it's not the same, it's not the Word of God. All the verses and everything like that are all in here. But it has extra study things in here for you. One is called word welts, where it will take a word, whether you're in the Old Testament or New, Old Testament's Hebrew, New Testament's Greek, and it will show you exactly what the word means. Also, down below, just like your Bible, it has the commentaries, where it will help you understand what was said above. So if you're confused at all, you just look down below, and the commentary breaks it down for you for a better understanding of what you were trying to read. Now, also what it does is in the center column is called references. So as you're reading a verse, you'll see A, B, C, D. If you follow that over to the middle, let's just say verse 1, A, It will give other verses, and those verses back up that verse. So there are different ways. In one Bible alone, you have so many different, you can tell, one Bible alone, I got to send it away to get done. You have all those different ways to study. Now, also what's really cool is in the back of this one, the New Spirit-Filled Life Bible, you have spiritual answers. So you can ask a question, what kingdom law underlines all personal and corporate development? And it will explain all the verses that deal with that one topic. When should a Christian disobey civil government? And it breaks into verses and breaks down the understanding. And these are all through the scripture. I mean, these are all through this study Bible. You'll also see that, what's the other thing there that I was getting into? A concordance, which is in the back. So say you want to know, you remember a part of the verse, but not all the verse. You remember that John Wayne died yesterday. Oh, no, that's not in this version. I'm sorry. Abundance. So you could actually go to this in the back and look up abundance. A-M-A-B. I really need carbs. Abound, abounded, abounding, abomination. So it doesn't have the word abundance, but I can look up. I'm sorry. There it is, abundance. There it is. I need some. Here we go. And all these verses there, Old Testament and New, are on that word abundance. Okay? So this is called a study Bible. Now, there are different types of study Bibles. You've got another one over here called the John Maxwell Leadership Bible. This is another study Bible. It's a great Bible. What he does is all the commentary in here is all about leadership skills. So we get to this text in the book of Psalms, and the notations are skill and competence, 11 keys to excellence. So it just has little nuggets all the way through the book. It also has the references that you can do. It has all those kind of things. In the front, it also talks about the introduction, which also the New Spirit-Filled Life does, when it was written, who's the writer, what the environment was, what the context was, like the Revelation. John was on the Isle of Patmos as an exile. He was like in prison all by himself when Jesus appeared to him in about 90 or whatever. 92, Kenny, help me now. He's a photographic memory. I think it was 90 to 96 AD. Really, he has a photographic memory. I hate him. It's horrible. It's not even nice. Okay, so that's another type of Bible. Then we also have here's another one. This is the one I used in Bible school. Now, I always encourage you to write in your Bibles. The reason I encourage that is because you're going to be able to go back and you're going to be able to remember. I love, like, when the preacher's preaching, you'll see me just writing away. Let me see. Where am I? Let me find one. Here we go. Preacher's preaching, I'm just writing, I'm circling things, I'm putting in verses that will take me to the next place where he was, and I'll actually create lines all the way through the Bible. Listen now, there's no greater compliment than handing your next generation a Bible that is absolutely loaded with your markings. In fact, Bishop Thomas, you know, our pastor, one of the oversights of our church, his spiritual father is John Avanzini. And John Avanzini is 80 years old, and the only thing he has asked from John Avanzini, his spiritual father, is, can I have your Bible? There's no greater treasure to give your family than your Bible and not crisp. And when God spoke to you, now listen, in every one of these Bibles, I have what God spoke to me, even prophetically. So if someone prophesied over me, I wrote it down. 12/15/1985. God will give large sums of money, and I'll be held accountable for what I do with it. That was a prophecy that was spoken over my life when I was in Bible school, 1985. It was my second year of Bible school. What's another one? Here we go. 3/19/1986, we had a Romanian pastor come in. God's wisdom and spirit will guide me, and a trumpet will be given, and I am to blow it. Stay close to God. Let me tell you, I've taken that one very, very serious. The next year, he came back and spoke literally the exact same word over me. I can go through in all my Bibles, and you will find all the prophetic words. You'll find sermons that people preached that I wrote all the way through. This is all verses. This is all stuff that is worth enormous amounts. So let me tell you what I usually do. Is this is the fourth one of these Bibles that I have owned. I actually hire people when it comes like this. This is a letter from my mother I always keep in here. I always hire people to go and literally take every marking and every word out of this one and put it in the new one. So I have a progression from the very first Spirit-Filled Life Bible that I owned, which was back in the 1980s, all the way to today. I have the compilation of all the notes I've taken. This, to me, is better than gold. This was stolen from me about 3 years ago. And I stood up before the congregation and I said, I don't care who you are. You stole my Bible. I want it back. And thank God they delivered it the next week. So why is that important? Because I have all the different prophecies, all the different things in here that are imperative. But that is a study Bible. You need a study Bible. Another type of study Bible is called a parallel Bible. Has anybody ever heard of a parallel Bible? Parallel Bible means you have more than one version in the same book. So in this book, I have King James Version, New International Version, and then I actually have the Greek. It's called the Greek Interlinear Parallel Bible. That's right, you can't, but they put the exact words underneath it. So if you're one who wants to know exactly what was spoken in that text, you have the King James, the New International Version, and then you have the Greek Interlinear, where it has all the Greek. Now remember, Greek goes this way, not this way. This way, and it will give you all the exact words underneath it. It's a really cool Bible. Another type of Bible that you can get is called a chronological Bible. I think I spoke about this last week, didn't I? Chronological Bible. I want to remind you that the Bible is not written in chronological order. It's not every book is in a row. The last book of the Old Covenant is, don't answer, Kenny. The last book in the Old, let's just say this. What was the last book written in the Old Testament? Yes. No. But good guess. What's the last book written in the Old Testament? Malachi. It's Italian. And that is untrue. That is the last book found in the Old Testament in your Bible. But that's not the last one that was written. What was the last one written? Ezra and Nehemiah. Ezra and Nehemiah were when they came back to Jerusalem and rebuilt it. So actually, Ezra and Nehemiah are before Psalms and Proverbs. But where it is chronologically, it's the last book written in the Old Testament. What's the first book written in the Old Testament? Job. Job is the very first Bible book written in the Bible. But you see, like we said last week, the Bible is not written in chronological order. It's written in categories. But this is a chronological Bible. This is stinking cool. Like when you read the book of Psalms, it's actually littered all the way through 1 and 2 Samuel. When you read the book of Acts, you'll find Ephesians, Galatians, Philippians. You'll find all of those right here. Let's just jump in there real quickly. Here we go. Oh, this is cool. I'm in the book of James. Remember I told you to start there? It's actually found in Acts chapter 11. So the book of James was written at the same time placed in Acts chapter 11. Just like Acts chapter 14 is the book of Galatians. So the chronological Bible is really awesome because you get how it goes. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Where exactly is it placed? You will love the chronological Bible. And that, again, is a great reading Bible. And you can use it to study. But it's just a great reading Bible, too, because it helps you understand where all these things are placed. Am I confusing anybody or are we having fun yet? Yes. Yep, this one's a King James Version because I bought it when I was in Bible college. But now they have different versions that are available. Like, I believe they have NIV. They probably have New King James Version. Most likely they have the NLT, but I'm not positive. So, I mean, for them it's easy. It's just cut and paste. So they probably have more versions than just King James Version. But when I was a kid in Bible college, I remember one college class alone that I had to take was called Personal Evangelism. I had to memorize over 100 verses, King James Version, every jot, every tittle, and every period. And I remember the night before, I'm going through all the verses and I had them all mixed up, but I had studied to show myself approved unto God, which a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so here I was, simply said, Holy Spirit, it's your job to remind me. I've done my job. I went to bed, got up the next morning, got a 98 on the exam. Glory to God. Over 100 verses, King James Version. Yes?
Why isn't most Bibles in chronological order?
The reason is because chronological order, it's great to read it that way, but when you're studying it, what happens is the categories, like the Pentateuch, which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Those are the first five books of the Bible. And then you get into the poetries. And then you get into the Proverbs. And then you get into the major prophets. Then you get into the minor prophets. It's just divided in the Bible for better understanding and continuity of segments and categories.
The non-chronological.
Non-chronological. Now the chronological, when you read the book of Ezekiel, you're also reading parts of Jeremiah. You're also reading Obadiah, Nehemiah. I mean, you're going to go, not Nehemiah, Obadiah, Zechariah, Zephaniah, Haggai, you're reading all of the minor prophets are completely prophesying the same time the major prophets. So this is really fun Bible, by the way. I'd encourage you to get one. Now, you can also get it online. I believe like e-sword.net, you can get it free on there and read it right there from your computer and from also, I believe, your phone. Yes? Absolutely.
There's no way of keeping that particular book of the Bible all in one place, not in that Bible.
Well, what it is when you, again, most people don't realize it, but the three missionary journeys of Paul the Apostle are in the book of Acts. So the Pauline epistles, which is Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, all those are locations that he went to, started churches in, and he's writing them a letter. Well, it's during the book of Acts. So it's all intermingled. It's so much fun to read. Okay. Anybody have any questions? Yes.
Are you going to tell me if my Bible's a good Bible to have? Because I don't want a bad Bible.
No, you have a good Bible. I think I've seen it.
The NIV?
Yep. Study? Now, the best is if you get an NIV pre-1984. But NIV isn't going to hurt you or bite you. After 1984, they start eliminating the supernatural in blood. Yes? Yeah, anything Joyce has is hot. She's good stuff. And she's Pentecostal. Okay, so let's talk about this. This is called a Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. Doesn't that look like fun? Every single word in the Bible is in this book. Every single word. Now, what this is used for is when you study. So when you're reading a verse, let's just take, everybody open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. You should bring your Bible. It's really good. Proverbs chapter 1. Now, sadly, like I said, I had something taken from me. I have the book of Proverbs. It took me over 2 years 4 hours a day writing this all out. I wrote out the entire book of Proverbs with all of the Hebrew words next to it and commentary beside it and all the reference verses beside that. And it is gone. I don't know. It's not here. Yes. And I'll agree with you because that's really rich. It's rich. Okay, so let's take Proverbs chapter 1. You ready? Verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. So, we see the word wisdom mentioned twice, one in verse 2, one in verse 3. Just reading that, it sounds good, right? Well, they're two different words. They don't even mean the same. The first word, wisdom, means to learn how to learn from your mistakes and other people's mistakes. The second word, wisdom, there says how to use knowledge correctly. So they're two totally different meanings. But you would never know that just by reading that. So studying the Bible is really cool. And what you can do is you can say, you know something? You know, I've always wanted to know what these verses mean. And you can take the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. You can look up the word wisdom. Dear Lord, it's been a long time. This is on my computer program. I haven't had one of these in my hand in a long time. Wisdom. Wives, wise, wisdom. Somebody want to help me? WIP, right? WIP?
WISDOM.
Oh, man. Wisdom. There it is. Wisdom. And when I look up the word wisdom in verse 2, it takes me over to a number, which is 2451. And then the other number for verse 3 is 7919. Now, in the back are all the numbers. So let's just do 7919. 7919. You see, when you study the Bible, it's really, you get through very few verses. But you can always find treasure laying out on the ground, but your greater treasure is always buried. So when you start digging, you get the rich stuff. 7919, right? 7919, right there. Sakir, a man, oh, that's not, 7916. 7919, Sakal, to be circumspect, intelligence, consider, expert, instruction, prosper, prudent, skill. That is to understand knowledge correctly. So that's the Hebrew word. And you can get that through your Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. Now, you can also get this on different Bible versions. Yes?
Yeah. Does that work for, like, the New Living Testament is not even close to that, obviously. So should we be, does that only work in the...
This one is for King James.
Okay. So
they have one for NIV.
I gotcha.
So if a great place to locate this, if you jump on the internet and you type in Google, Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, it will take you to different ones that are free right online. And all you need to do is plug in the verse, and it will give you all the Hebrew or the Greek words. It's great. It's awesome. It's free. Everybody say free.
Free.
Good. Okay, yes.
Do you know where you could buy one of those?
Yeah, you can buy this at Barnes & Noble. You can buy it online. They're probably pretty cheap now. No, they're still not. Because they're free online, baby. They're free online. Don't buy one. They're free online. Yep, or you can buy it on, you can use it for free on Google. Now, we have other things called commentaries. Everybody say commentaries. That's those things at the bottom of your pages. But there are books that are written specifically for a certain book. So, like, this is probably the best for history. His name is William Barclay. He is horrible when it comes to spiritual things. But his breakdown of, like, if you get it and you're reading, let's just say, the whole armor of God, and you break into Barclay's material, Barclay will break down what every piece of armor meant to that Roman soldier and where he wore it, why it was important to him as an actual soldier, and then how it applies to you and I as Christians. Barclay is probably one of the best when it comes to history that you could ever imagine. Like I said, he wasn't spiritual in the aspect of believing in the supernatural, but he was phenomenal when it comes to that. So here's another commentary. It's called The Bible Knowledge Commentary by John Wolverd. So it comes in and it hits out different verses and it hits out different topics that you can go through. And this is the New Testament alone. So you could just find a verse that you're looking for in the New Testament, break it down, and he'll explain the whole thing. That's called the commentary. Most people, you can get commentaries free online on e-sword.net. They're free. Don't have to buy them anymore. Here's another way to study the Bible. How many of you are always interested in demonology and deliverance and, you know, understanding spiritual things? So this is one of the ones I used to teach in Bible school. And this is from anything you can get from Dr. Lester Sumrall or Dr. Kenneth Hagin is phenomenal. Now, what's really cool about this book is when you open it up, it's actually a study book. So this does all the study for you. All you got to do is read the study notes. That's another way to study the Bible. So there's so many ways. All the topics are all over the place. And I would just encourage you, before you go out and you buy a book to read it, shoot me a Facebook message, shoot me a text. I want to make sure that you're not consuming something that's unhealthy. There are a bunch of nuts, fruits, and flakes out there. Matthew Henry commentary is cute. Matthew Henry commentary is considered the cute commentary, which it really is just, it's really not, bam. It's a good beginner's commentary. So now for me, I'm one who likes to write out. I like to write out. Myself, I remember better if I write something. What I wanted to show you was where I wrote out almost the entire, Jason Lawson, I wonder who he was. This is way back in 1984, 85. But I keep these things because they are just so wealthy, because you can go back and see what God has spoken to you and said to you. Now, I know everything today is digital, and I'm pretty much a digital guy too. But just like you've lost photographs, I've lost some really dynamic sermons when I went from one computer to the next. So written stuff for me is very important because I remember what I write. That's how my memory works. I actually learn better by listening. A lot of people don't do that, but I learn better by listening. And it's sealed in me when I write it. So knowing how you work is very important. So here's some, these are just different ways to study the Bible. You have another one called topical study. There's a book called Knaves Topical Bible. Knaves, N-A-V-E-S, oh by the way, e-sword.net. Knaves Topical Bible. And what you'll say is, I want to know about earrings. You look up in Knaves earrings, and it'll give you every verse, old to new, dealing with earrings. Every single verse. I want to know about the skin on my teeth. Did you know that? You have skin on your teeth. Skin on my teeth. Knaves. Boom. Skin on your teeth. Prophesied in the book of Job. I want to know that the earth is a sphere. See, if Columbus had read the Bible, he would never have had to worry about falling off the end of the world. Because sphere, boom, verse proving the Bible declares all the way back in the book of Job, which was the very first book ever written in the Bible, that the earth is a sphere. All these topics are available for you. And so that's another way to study. But I would encourage you to be a reader. But then get a topic. Maybe like my wife, you heard her preach on honor, right? All she did was look up every word, every time the word honor was written in the Bible, and she read the verse. That's what she did. She didn't go out with a $10,000 computer. 10,000 books piled up on her desk. She did all of that study on her iPhone laying in bed after I brought her a cup of coffee. And yeah, and she copied and pasted into notes in the iPhone. That's how you got the sermon on Sunday. So don't make this weird or difficult. Pick a topic. And what's really neat. Now, here's a bad thing. Because we have Google these days, a lot of people like to just type in to Google whatever you want to know. Google is not the Bible. Very important. Google is not the Bible. Google is a way to help you locate things, but you also got to remember that there are a bunch of quacks out there.
Oh, yeah.
No, really. I'm going to tell you a real bad one. Yeah, you need to close your ears. You need actually probably need to step outside. And your brother, too. Yeah, this one's way above 12, brother, way above 12. Just for a second. You want to close the door. There we go. And this, no, I got Terry. There was, you know, the Bible says no premarital sex. Yes, see? So what happened was these guys on the internet, they decided that anal sex isn't sex. So what they did was they started a movement amongst our young people. The young people would type in, is sex a sin? And it would come up, anal sex is not a sin. You can have all you want. So listen, you can let him in. Don't use Google as your study Bible. There are nuts out there. Do you know how many people don't believe in tithing anymore because they read something stupid on the internet? It's like, come on now. You did so well. Now, I know that you might have thought that was a little crass, but that's what I'm trying. I want to show you that there are a bunch of quacks out there. So Google's not your study Bible. You can use it to get to locations, e-sword.net. Stay on those kind of safe zones so you don't get poisoned with foolishness. You know, the cults are out there too, man, and they like to get people. Always half-truths. So you got to be wise in what you're ingesting. I'll say this and I'll be done. I think I've given the example before, but it's worth hearing again. There was a mother and a father who had a Christmas party at their house. And they had amazing food. I mean, they had shrimp. They had lasagna. They had all the different, I mean, like their counters were just stuffed. They had all of their friends in, and they were all celebrating Christmas together. And, you know, after the party's over, everybody's cleaned up everything. And, you know, they had a baby. The baby's like a year and a half, just really starting to crawl around. And the next morning, you know, the mother got the child out and got the food and da-da-da-da-da-da and put the child down, and the kid, like, escaped. So she's looking for her baby. Finds the baby in the den behind a chair, eating a piece of shrimp that had gone bad. And the kid died. Believers do that all the time. They just pick up whatever piece of shrimp they want and they start eating it, and they don't know if it's poison or not. You got to be careful what you eat. There's some bad dudes out there. Don't mind messing your brain. There was another one. Dr. Hagen went into an office one day, into a pastor's office, and he was mesmerized by this office. The office, when you step in the door, it was a step down, and it was like a half moon, and it was all dark, dark oak. Bookcase upon bookcase, you know, like in like octagon shape all the way around his office. And every bookcase was filled with volumes of books. It was an amazing library. And Dr. Hagen walked over to the young man, you know, the pastor, and said, "Sir, this is the most beautiful library I've ever seen in my life." And the man looked up at him and said, "And they've damned me." He said, "What?" He says, some of those books have caused so much doubt and unbelief in my heart when I read them that it will take me years to expel it from my life. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you read. Because there's a bunch of nut flakes out there. Okay? And bugs and, you know, the nuts don't mind messing you up. So be wise in what you eat. If you're going to jump into something fresh, just shoot me a Facebook. Real simple. And I'll just say yay or nay. We have, right now, one of the largest moves that's happening that's destroying our young Pentecostal believers is a group of men. I don't know if I could do that. Thank you all for watching live stream this evening. We appreciate you being with us. Be blessed. We love you.